Good morning, good everyone. This morning we're in the book of Luke, the second chapter, and we're going to read part of the Christmas story about the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke, the second chapter, starting in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Let's go to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for today and thankful for all your blessings. And especially, Lord, we thank you for your Son who came and was born and lived amongst us and died for our sins. But especially, he rose again in victory. We're so thankful for that. Lord, we just ask that you'll be with us this morning. Open our hearts and minds as we hear your word, Lord, that we may apply it to our everyday lives. We're just so thankful for all you've done for us. Ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Talking about the birth of Christ, I want to talk about the angel. There's three different messages that the angel, I think it's Gabriel on all three occasions, and he delivers a message to three different individuals, but it's not his message, it's God's message. Angel literally means messenger, and so we're going to talk about God's message at the birth of Jesus Christ this morning, as delivered by the angel Gabriel. And so we find that God had made these announcements, and we'll start first with the announcement that God makes to Mary, called the Son of the Highest. It's interesting, and we'll talk about this a little more next week, but Luke kind of gives the, he's writing to Gentiles, and he kind of follows the narrative of Mary, tells a lot more of her story in the book of Luke. And then when we go to Matthew, we find Matthew kind of focuses more on Joseph's story. So as we see the angel appearing unto Mary, we go to the book of Luke. When we talk about Joseph, we'll go to the book of Matthew. And we find that in these two books, we have the nativity, the birth of Jesus Christ is recorded in these two books. Mark doesn't record the birth of Christ, just goes right into the ministry of Jesus Christ. And the book of John goes into not the birth of Jesus Christ, but the fact that he is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word was with God. And so John doesn't do the nativity, the birth, but he shows his deity in his relationship with God in the beginning, if you will. So Luke and Matthew will be taking some verses from there this morning. And so we're going to talk first about Gabriel coming and appearing unto Mary. Mary was a young woman, probably teenager. Sometimes people talk maybe she was 12. I think she was probably a little older than that. You know, I'd guess somewhere between probably 13 and 18 is what I would guess. We don't know, but it's incredible her heart and how devoted she was to the Lord. Same thing with Joseph. Very two very sincere individuals, and obviously God knew who and why he was choosing these individuals. And so we find that this, in the sixth month, as the Jewish calendar goes, the angel Gabriel was sent from God, right? So we see that Gabriel came from God with a message. We look in Revelation, the fourth chapter, and fifth chapter. It gives us a image of the throne of God. Isaiah, the sixth chapter, does that also, and we see all these angels there ministering about the throne of God. And we find that Isaiah gives even a more description of these angels with different wings and different things as he describes them in Isaiah 6. But here, Gabriel leaves the throne of God and he has a message from God to the city of Galilee. And Israel's a long, skinny nation even at that time. Galilee's to the north. Jerusalem is about 60 miles to the south. And so the city of Galilee, or the region of Galilee, and the city was Nazareth. And the angel came to a very specific person, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. And so we find that this young virgin, young woman who has never known a man, and that's important for prophecy, and we'll look at that in Isaiah the seventh chapter a little bit later. But it's interesting that God sends this angel specifically to this young woman, who has to be excited, right? She's engaged, she's espoused. And so this is during the period of about a year that the Jews would be engaged in, and that's basically the and then they'd have the ceremony after this espousal or engagement, and it was Joseph, and he was a descendant of David, the house or the lineage. We could also read it like that, the lineage of David. And this young woman, this virgin's name, we don't usually talk about people like that openly, but this is really important because it's the fulfillment of prophecy. Because if Jesus, as we read Romans, the fifth chapter, and other places, if Jesus would have had a father, right, that's how our sin nature is passed on. And so we find that because Jesus, didn't have an earthly father, God being the father overshadowed her, and she became with child, we find that that is very, very important to who Jesus is. So he could be deity without sin, and yet humanity, like God, and yet still like us, and yet without sin. And her name is Mary, and the angel, verse 28, came in unto her and said, "Hail." I don't know what angels look like, right? Sometimes they're kind of described looking kind of like humans. But I don't know. And when we look at how the shepherds described their, a bright light is shining. And so I don't know what Mary saw. I don't know if she immediately knew he was an angel. It said, came in unto her. So having a spiritual body and not a fleshly body, they wouldn't be contained as we are, in that I cannot go outside unless I go through a door or a window, right? Much rather go through a door than a window. But it appears that angels, being spiritual beings, that they wouldn't have those same restrictions. And we kind of get the idea that Mary is here, and he came in and didn't really knock or anything. He's just there, and he says, "Hello." Now, have you ever walked into a room, somebody doesn't know you're there, and you say hi, and they just kind of are startled? I've said this many times. I wish somebody was filming this, right? Because I'd love to see. We have the words, and sometimes it's not quite enough. I'd like more detail. I want more information. But he says, "Hail," or "Hi," or "Hello." It's just a common greeting, and he says, "Thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." Now, he never says, "I am an angel," so we get the idea that he probably stands out as different, or at least that's my take. And he says, "Thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." What an incredible start of a conversation from a messenger of God. I don't know about you, but I always worry. I hate it when my parents would say, "We want to talk to you," right? It usually wasn't a good thing. Not because I did a lot of bad things, but the good things, you didn't have to make an appointment to talk to your parents about good things, right? And so what we find here, he says, highly favored. If the Lord came, I would be afraid it would be like, you know, my parents, "Let's make an appointment. We're going to talk about something that I didn't do right, or a failure, or something I need to work on." If the Lord showed up, I could probably list some things that I would feel like I probably need to work on that he might want to point out and does in my life. But it's interesting, he says, "Good job," right? That's why you're doing well. You are highly favored. You know, you're being obedient. The Lord is with thee. Wow. Highly favored, and the Lord is with you. What? And I think we can all, in obedience, can claim that you know, the Lord loves us. The Lord is with us, whether we always feel that way, right? And he goes on and says, "Blessed art thou among women." And we're going to see why she has received this special blessing and what this is and why the angel has appeared unto her. One of the things that is interesting is during the life of Jesus, there's more angel activity, and actually more demon activity too, than any other time recorded in the scripture. We find that, you know, when Jesus is in the desert, an angel appears. When I had a list, but I didn't bring it. When Jesus was in the garden, there's a lot of other different places where the angels came. When at the resurrection of Jesus, there's angels there at the tomb, and there's just a lot of angel activity. We also know there's a lot of demon activity. And the reason that is the top spiritual being has left heaven and has come on earth. And I think that's part of what Gabriel, this angel, is trying to communicate. And when she saw him, she was troubled, disturbed. I'm not sure if upset, but troubled. It would be kind of troubling. What does it mean? How do you interpret it at his saying? And cast in her mind, what manner of salutation should this be? What is he talking about? What is he trying to tell me? There's lots of times that people will come and talk to me, and I can say, "I hear the words, but I'm not sure what message, what you're trying to tell me, what you're trying to communicate to me." Joyce and I, once in a while, will watch, we like detective shows, and there's some British shows. And it's very hard to understand. And once in a while, one of us will turn to the other and say, "Sure wish they'd speak English, right? I hear the words, but I don't understand what they're trying to communicate." And she, in her mind, she's thinking, she hasn't said anything, and she's struggling with this. What is he trying to communicate here to me? And the angel said unto her, you know, she's troubled. He is aware of that. You know, come in the room and say hi, and someone jumps, their heart is pounding, and then you're talking to them, and he says, "Fear not, Mary, Again, for thou hast found favor with God. What an incredible concept. You know, on one hand, she must feel proud. On the other hand, scared. You ever been in a class and the teacher picked you? Well, great, you picked me, but now what do you expect of me? What do I have to know? What do I have to do? What do I have to perform? Sometimes it's best to be lost in a crowd, but she is going to stand out here. You have found favor. Basically, you have been picked by God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. You're going to get pregnant. You're going to be pregnant. And the child that is going to be born is going to be a son. Not a daughter, but a son. And God wants you to name him Jesus. Now, it's kind of interesting. Jesus, we sometimes think that it's a unique name. There's actually, if you go in the Bible, there's five different Jesuses talked about, a priest and stuff. They're not mentioned a lot. But Jesus was a common name at the time. It's a translation from the Hebrew. And you are to call him, this is the name that you are to call him. And it basically, in the Greek, means salvation of the Lord, salvation provided of the Lord, or from God. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. Now, Mary is a young Jewish lady, right? So she would know the Old Testament, and she would know many of the prophecies. And she would know the prophecy of Isaiah, the 7th chapter, that a virgin will conceive. And there in Isaiah, this is a sign. This is your sign. This is how you know. He shall be great, Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So lineage is going to be really important. And if I do what the Lord laid on my heart, I'm going to do what the Lord laid on my heart. If he doesn't change my mind, I'm going to preach about genealogies next Sunday a little bit. And this is really, really important, the throne of David. And so hearing these words, she already has to have some idea, but why me? I mean, why not somebody else, right? And it goes on describing, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. In other words, in one way we could describe this, her son is going to be an overachiever, right? He is going to be the Son of God. He is going to be the Son of the Highest. Throne of David, kingdom shall never end. Just think about those words and how that, you know, there's sometimes, and I already said this, but there's important messages and you hear them and it's like, but you don't grasp it. You don't fully understand the ramifications of what you are hearing. And we know that this is, that Jesus is accepted at his baptism. We're going to see how that God is pleased with him. At his baptism, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and the Holy Spirit descends on him as a dove. And then 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. So Mary has heard this important message about who she's going to give birth to. But we need to hear this message about who Jesus is. And he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So we find that first Gabriel the angel comes and announces Son of the Highest, throne of David. Then we find that the angel appears unto Joseph. And to Joseph, the message is, he shall save his people from their sin. I want to go back, talk just a little bit more about Mary. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's how important this is. So the angel even answered her questions that she had about how can this be. She understood how things worked and needed explanation, and the angel was willing to give that to her. The angel goes on and says, and behold, thy cousin, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. So she's experienced a miracle in her own right. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And we find that Mary is going to take comfort, being a very young woman. Elizabeth seeming to be much older, not being able to have kids in her old age, as it says, seems to be able to be a comfort and a mentor under her. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And one of the most amazing prayers, being thankful to God, Mary records that after this. I don't have time to read that, but it's incredible. I encourage you to read what she says about being chosen and how she just loves the Lord and is willing to be obedient to the message that God has given her. So now we go to Joseph, and the message there is, he shall save the people from their sins. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. Remember I said that in Luke, it's like we're starting the story over again, and we're not. In Luke, it focuses on Mary, so that's why we kind of have that. We don't really have this part of the story, but I think this was right after Mary found out that she was pregnant, and this happened. And then we find the birth of Jesus was on this wise in relationship to Joseph. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, Jesus' mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, before they knew each other, in that context, she was found with child, pregnant of the Holy Ghost. That's what the angel said was going to happen. The angel described that. I could imagine that was a good thing, that she understood that was going to happen. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. So now he has the dilemma, especially in this society that they lived in. It was a terrible thing. Matter of fact, under the law, for being pregnant outside of wedlock, she could be stoned to death. And so not only is it not something that she's going to be accepted in public, but also it is against the Old Testament laws. And so he is not wanting to bring charges against her. He doesn't want to make an example. I'm sure he's struggling with what, you know, he understands how things work, right? She says, hey, I'm pregnant, and it's from God. It's a miracle. And he's, you know, I mean, it's got to be, yeah. And an angel appeared unto me, and it's like, oh boy, you've really lost it now, right? He's struggling with this. And so he's trying to figure out how to make this work. You ever had a problem that that God has presented you and you try to figure it out. God's plan is better than ours. And while he thought on these things, how to deal with all this, and he had to be, you could imagine all the thoughts that he's dealing with. And as he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. And we can only assume that Mary had shared with him that an angel had appeared unto her. And in this dream, an angel says unto him, Joseph, talking to him, thou son of David, of the lineage of David. And that's important from a legal standpoint, not that he's going to be the physical father, but from the Jewish standpoint, he is going to be seen as the father of Jesus. Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. So yes, this is Gabriel speaking, but this is his message from God. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. This is God's doing. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Remember, that's what Mary was told. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's the meaning of the name there, salvation from the Lord. And then in John, Jesus says this, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That's why Jesus came. And Jesus, that's what the angel told Mary, that's what the angel told Joseph, that's what Jesus told the people. You're going to die in your sins if you don't believe in me, if you do not have a relationship with me. Ye shall die in your sins, but if you believe, you will have eternal life. Then in Matthew 1:22, it goes on and says, now all this was done, the telling of the angel telling Mary what was going on, and the Holy Spirit coming upon her and her being with child, and the angel appearing unto Joseph and telling him to go ahead, even though she's pregnant, to go ahead and to take her as your wife. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet. God had a plan. It even tells us in Revelation that at one point, seeing the Lamb of God that had been slain before the foundation of the world, God had a plan before Adam and Eve was ever created, and we find that all this was done according to God's plan. And as time went on, God gives us little pieces. Genesis 3:15 is the very first. A little piece of the plan. The Messiah is going to be born of a woman. That's the very first prophecy, and then it starts to get more detailed as the Old Testament goes on. And specifically, all this was done to fulfill also this one prophecy in Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, one who has never known a man. I mean, this isn't how nature works, but in this one instance of the Messiah, this is God's plan. And shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, and that is being interpreted God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bid him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And guess what? They called him Jesus, right? And it's kind of interesting story when we look at John the Baptist and Elizabeth and the naming of John the Baptist, and Zacharias was struggling with that a little bit, and he was couldn't speak, had to write the name that God had said, you will call him this. And they said, But you don't have any family named that. But that's what God wanted. So in dealing with Jesus Christ and his life and John coming to prepare a way for the Lord, there's all kinds of things that the Lord had planned. And this is the prophecy specifically of the Old Testament. This is a sign. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. This is how you know. There's all kinds of things in the life of Jesus. His miracles, his healing people, his power over the effect of sin on the body, healing, his power over death, raising Lazarus, and other people he raised from the death, from the dead. All these things are proof. But Israel got a sign, one sign. Here is your sign. Here's a proof. And without this, he would have sin nature as us. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And then the third message from God sent by, delivered by the angel Gabriel was to the shepherds. Now this is some 9 months later after Mary had gotten the message, then Joseph got the message, they got married, they're in Nazareth some 60 miles away, she's fully pregnant, they have to go to Bethlehem, she, you know, how on a donkey or whatever, however she gets there. Traveling in a car, a plane, it's not easy for pregnant women, and I don't know firsthand, but I can tell by watching my wife and other women that that's got to be tough. And they were walking or riding on a donkey and having to travel 60 miles, and it's very rugged terrain. It takes at least 3 days, and most people say that it's an average 5-day trip, and she's fully pregnant. How many rest stops are there? You have to go to the bathroom all the time, right? I mean, there's all those kinds of things that we don't even think of that she was dealing with and struggling with. They get to Bethlehem, and she has the child, no room for him in the end, all the things that the nativity, the Bible tells us about the birth of Jesus Christ. And one aspect of that is the shepherds. They were Jews, right? And he came unto the Jews. And these were kind of lower, low-class citizens. People didn't look up to the shepherds. If you want all the answers to life, you don't go to a shepherd, right? And yet that is who God brought this message to. And there were, in the same country, shepherds. And Bethlehem is an area very good for grazing. A lot of sheep, a lot of shepherds, a lot of flocks there in the area, even today. And they were abiding in the field. Now, we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ, December 25th. We do not know. If they were in the fields, that probably means that the sheep were having their lambs, and if that's the case, it was probably more spring, but we don't know. It doesn't matter what day we remember. It's a good thing to remember the incredible gift that God has given us, and we choose to do that on December 25th. And they were in the field keeping watch over their flock. And lo, an angel of the Lord appears, just shows up and comes unto them. And the glory of the Lord, again, there's an angel now. Later we know that there's going to be this choir of angels that is going to come to the shepherds also. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. So this angel look different. Now, don't know if this is how he looked to Joseph. We don't know if this is how he looked to Mary. We didn't get a description, really, of how the angel looked. But they seemed to both understand that it wasn't just a normal man that was talking to them. And it's interesting, this angel came, and what this angel represents, I like the way it says this, the glory of the Lord, right? You know, when people look at us, they shouldn't just see my glory or what I am. They should see the glory of Jesus in me and the way that I live for him. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the angel said unto them, unto the shepherds, they were afraid, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, a great message of joy. A good thing has happened, which shall be unto not just you, but unto all people. For unto you is born this day, unto you, you shepherds, but also to the nation of Israel, to all Jews, born this day in the city of David. It's interesting, we keep hearing David's name, right? Because he has to be of the lineage, so to be of the throne, he'll be king of kings, right? That's really, really important. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We don't always get the full implication of when it says Christ. In the Old Testament, this would be rendered Messiah, which is the Messiah of the Lord. The Messiah has come. The promises, all those 400 different prophecies, more than 400, in the Old Testament, starting with Genesis 3:15, be born of a woman. Isaiah said in 7:14, behold, a sign. What is the sign? A virgin shall conceive. Being a Jew, they knew all of these scriptures. They understood when he said the Messiah is born. They understood that this is a one, just a one person thing that God has been promising and that has never come, and it is finally, this promise of the Lord is being fulfilled. And this shall be a sign unto you specifically, Christ the Lord, the Messiah has come, your sign, so you know that you go find this baby that was born, your sign is you shall find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, which I think was probably a pretty common thing, but what is going to be unique is he's going to be lying in a food trough. That's not common. And there was no room, right, with the taxation and all those things. So when you go and you see a baby, you don't run up to the first baby you see. You're going to find one lying in a manger. Now, we have all the nativity scenes, and you know, there was cows and different things. I doubt it. Sheep, some of those kinds of things, probably. But some of those animals were unclean to the Jews, so we Westerners put some of those things in those pictures. But what it looked like, don't know. I remember I said I'd like some film. I'd like a picture. I'd like God's picture of what that looked like. But this is a sign, and they went there to find the child. You will find him lying in a manger or a food trough. 1 John 4:14, and John writes, the Apostle John, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That was the message that God gave to the angels, and that's the same message that we need to receive and accept him as our Savior. And this is your sign. The virgin birth is so essential to the birth of deity, of Jesus, the deity of Jesus, the humanity, so he is not, does not have sin. If the pianist and song leader will come forward, let's all stand. God sent his Son that we might believe on him, that we might have everlasting life. And Jesus says this, and this is the will of him that sent me. This is God's plan. That's what he's saying. God has had a plan. He sent Jesus. Well, God has a plan for you and I, and this is his plan, that everyone which sees the Son believeth on him and may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. As God had a plan for Jesus, God has a plan for us. First, to accept him as our Savior, and then to live our life for him. How are you doing with fulfilling God's plan in your life? What page you got?